Welcome to the Last Christian Radio Show with your hosts, Brother J.D. Williams and Brother T.L. Farley. It's now time to grab your Bible as prophecy brings into focus the events playing out on the world stage at incredible speed, right before our very eyes, and exactly as was foretold.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Last Christian Radio Show. Of course, this is the special edition each week that we call It's a Wrap. And tonight we're going to focus on Israel, but we're also going to talk about the, that supposedly weather balloon. Is that really a Chinese EMP attack test? I think it is. And how about what's going on over in the Ukraine right now? Did you know that the United States is about to get us into World War III? We got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight, and I want to introduce to you real quick my co-host out of the Dallas and Fort Worth area there, Mr. T.L. Terry Farley. Terry, it has been one heck of a week. We no longer are talking about stuff, that's coming up here in months or whatever. Now, each time that we come on this show, we are talking about what happened over the past few days, but definitely within the last week. It is incredible.
Yeah, it sure is. In fact, I've got a little tidbit I'm going to throw in. I'm going to see when you get into all that stuff and where I can fit it in, I'll jump in. Okay. It's kind of interesting.
Anyway. Absolutely. Absolutely. Look forward to hearing that for sure. Before we get going with Israel, and that is going to be the focus tonight, is Israel and also, of course, this weather balloon thing, which isn't a weather balloon at all. But anyway, before we get into all that, this is the United States of America. That's where this this comes out of course. And so I think it's important to keep up with what happens here in the United States, even though it doesn't really play into prophetic events, because the United States isn't mentioned in any prophetic events. But this, I think, is something that we all need to at least discuss a little bit, and that, of course, is Representative Omar. Let's listen to this.
The Republican-led House voted after a debate Thursday to oust Democratic Representative Omar from the chamber's Foreign Affairs Committee, citing her anti-Israel comments.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy was able to solidify Republican support against Ilhan Omar, the Somali-born Muslim woman, in the new Congress, although some GOP lawmakers had expressed reservations.
Okay, the only thing in this that I want to talk about is the fact that they are saying that she is a Muslim and from Somalia. So I want you to think about that statement here for just a second, and then think about every other news report that you hear anywhere. For instance, are they going to say something like Kevin McCarthy, the Speaker of the House, who is a Christian that was born in the United States and his family came from Europe? Are they going to say that?
No.
Of course not. Of course not. But you see, the focus here is to try and focus on race, to try to focus on ethnicity, to try to focus on country rather than on fact and on pure news. There is no reason for any mention of Somalia. There is no reason for any mention of Muslim at all. That is all to play to audience. That's all to play to division. That's my opinion. What do you think?
Yeah, and I don't think the division is, I don't think it's like putting the Democrats down. What I think it's doing is trying to set the Republicans and anyone who's in agreement with the move in the racial category, in the anti-religious category, whatever, that's what's going on. Right. And, again, it's just somebody, it's the old bait and switch routine. Right. So,
Yeah. Well, unfortunately. No, it's not a surprise at all. That's for sure. Okay, enough on that. We're going to move on because, again, I really do want to get to Israel. I want to get to what's going on over there. But what's happening in the United States right now is something that we should all be paying very close attention to, there was a Chinese balloon. Now, remember, this thing was launched in China. This wasn't launched in the United States. It wasn't launched, you know, out in the Pacific Ocean someplace. This was launched in China. So the United States government has had plenty of time to watch this. We monitor everything, okay? Mm-hmm. And they've had plenty of time to watch it. So let's take a look at this. Now, this report comes courtesy of Fox News, and I'll remind everybody, I am a member of the U.S. Press Association, so I am able to play this clip. So I want you to listen to this one really, really carefully.
The information on this whole balloon thing about where it's going and where it is now. It's in the mid-continental United States, we're told, but it's checked off a lot of states or areas in the meantime here, and a lot of them over pretty sensitive territory and military and other installations that even commercial aircraft cannot fly over. So this thing has been, and for presumably a number of days. So we're on top of that. General Jack Keane on the significance of all of this and where he thinks it's going. First of all, General, what do you think this thing is? Certainly, it's more than just a meteorological balloon or something to the extent the Chinese have said it is, but it is very different than almost any others that we've been in contact with. So your thoughts?
Well, it's a spy surveillance device that they have attached to it, probably a little bit more comprehensive than what they would fly on one of their spy airplanes. But look at, I want the American people to understand, we just didn't know about this yesterday. What we have in this country is NORAD, was the North American Aerospace Defense Command. And that defends Canada and the United States. And their surveillance to do that has a sophisticated suite of radar stations around the world and satellites. And what are we defending against? Any penetration of Canadian or American airspace by missiles or aircraft. And obviously, it's the nuclear threat that concerns us the most. So, Neil, when this balloon ascended to that altitude in China and began to move, we knew it. And we can track it the whole time. We have to track a missile coming out of China or an airplane coming out of China heading to the United States. Certainly, we can track a balloon, and we've been doing it for some time. And the reality is, we're completely justified to shoot it down based on a couple things. We've been told they've done it before, so we know what the intent is. Number two, when it got close to Alaska or Aleutian Islands, began to violate our international space, shoot it down. When it got close to Canada, another opportunity, shoot it down. When it got close to the United States, traveling from Canada to the United States. And I think we should have shot it down. I think we're
didn't.
The national
we
security
didn't, General.
Team.
We didn't do that, right? So then it begs the question, why
but
didn't
where
we do that?
Where the national security team is at fault here is their judgment is way off and their assumptions are off. Number one, I believe they thought this probably wouldn't become a matter of public consumption, which it has because people saw and witnessed the balloon up and began to question it. And number two, their analysis is really misguided. The analysis should have been that we cannot permit an adversary nation to violate U.S. airspace and therefore our sovereignty. That has got to be the conclusion and the guidance the national security team should have come up with. And the Pentagon participating in this, I want it shot down, but do it safely.
And, you know, Terry, this is a pretty serious thing here. So, of course, the country is going to turn to its leader for information about what's going on. And that means that we've got to rely on President Joe Biden. So, here was... Now, remember, I hate to continue to joke about his mental condition, but...
joke here.
Yeah, but anyway, this is the entire United States of America response to what is going on per our United States President, Mr. Joe Biden. Listen to this.
Mr. President, the orders are...
And that, ladies and gentlemen, was the response. We'll take care of it. That's it. That's the entire response from the president of the United States. And if there was ever a reason to really question him, that's it. Because we have, in effect, a balloon flying over the United States. And people say, oh, it's a balloon. Big deal. Okay, I want you to take a look at this, Terry. Watch this real quick. This is where this balloon is. Now, remember, this thing flew all the way from China. It went across the Aleutian Islands, which are just to the west of Alaska. It then traveled over Canada and then made its way down into Washington State. And it's now moved all the way. And you can see there, it is almost dead center of the United States of America. And if equipped with an EMP and exploded at that altitude, the entire United States of America would have no electrical power at all. Everything would be fried. You would not be using your car. You would not be heating or cooling your home. You would not see trucks going on down the highway. You wouldn't see trains traveling. You wouldn't see anything or hear anything because you wouldn't have any power at all. I contend, personal opinion here, this is a Chinese EMP attack test, and it has been successfully carried out, and now they know what our response is, and that terrifies me. Your opinion?
I would be terrified if I didn't know Jesus. People need to understand, you're not overstating this. The reality is, the reason why gas-powered trucks are going to fail is because every vehicle on the road today has electronic equipment.
All right.
When the EMP bursts, it deadens all electronic equipment. You won't be able to use your cell phone, kids.
Right.
I'm sorry. You're going to have to figure something out. You're not going to be able to fry any eggs or anything else because all the power is going to go because there's so much, almost everything I can think of is somehow connected to electric power or electronics in some way. So this is going to be a deadening of America, and it's just, it's phenomenal. So you can't overstate the problem.
No.
That's why so many people all up and down the chain of news programs are concerned. Certainly, even the Uber media is noticing it, although I don't know if they've put two and two together. I don't know if they can. I don't know if they can put two and two together. So the problem is very serious. And very serious is really an impotent description. I apologize. We've never been here before, so trying to describe it is a challenge, to say the least. But listen up, people, if America and Americans do not awake, not woke, but awake, we're in real trouble here.
Absolutely. Well, you know, their focus was on the fact it's a spy satellite or a spy balloon, and I agree with that. Yes, it is taking a lot of data, but I also believe it is a Chinese EMP test. I really do. The fastest and easiest way to take this country down is to take electronics away. Half of the population below 30 is not going to be able to focus at all or do anything. I mean, not even get out of bed without a phone and a computer. And believe me, all phones and computers go bad because there is no hardening of our electric grids, even though we've known about this condition for a couple of decades now. We've taken no action, and now the Chinese have tested us, saying, okay, what would they do if we flew a balloon over there and attached an EMP to it? Would it make it? Yeah, it'd make it all the way to the center of the United States where it can be easily detonated and put us back into the Stone Age in a heartbeat. Now, you say that you're not worried because you're a Christian. I'm a Christian, too, but I'm worried because there's no guarantee whatsoever that the rapture happens before an EMP attack. And, Terry, I hate to say it, but I really like having electricity and lights. I like knowing that there's going to be groceries in the grocery store that I can buy. And none of that stuff is going to happen if they detonate an EMP. None of it.
No, and I understand, and I am not in any way trying to diminish your concern, your fear. It's actually common sense.
Right.
It's the, I mean, it, you know, it's, you know, and again, and I fall back on my statement previously because I am a Christian. But again, I'm a Christian who has been studying the Bible for almost 50 years.
Right.
And I'm a Christian who's been following Jesus on mission trips for much of that 50 years time, having him show me things he can do and powers that he has to bring me to a place of understanding of taking one day at a time. Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow. So here's the thing. That balloon is there right now.
Right now.
It's a, I'm not talking about, it's really right now. So it, yes, it could flash today, this morning. It could flash, well, it's actually afternoon now. But the point being, to show you when we try to get this thing going, but listen, to help you understand where we're at in the body of Christ, Joel, I just watched a conference in which people who believe in the imminent rapture as I do, and they were all afraid. And if I get afraid, we're all in trouble. but anyway, and I just want to put that little thing out there.
Right. Well, you know, I can understand. I can understand what you're saying. The deal is that the United States of America is not in the Bible. And we are solidly looking at prophecy where in Ezekiel chapter 38, it states that no one comes to the aid of Israel. And we know that the United States of America is the number one ally of Israel, unquestionably. Without us, I don't think, well, of course, God wouldn't let it happen. But the way the world looks at it, without us, Israel couldn't survive. That's the reason Iran is so, you know, trying to destroy us so much. That's the reason North Korea, who hates Israel, is so defiant and aggressive toward us. And when I see something like what's happening now with this balloon happening, it leads me to believe that one of the easiest ways to keep the United States out of anything would be to explode an EMP and put us to where nobody knows what in the heck is going on at all, because we get no news reporting at all. So, again, because all electronics are fried. I mean, all electronics are fried. Look around your house. What's plugged in? Okay? You don't have it anymore. Instantly, you don't have it anymore.
It's gone.
You know, the TV stations, my the radio stations, all that. Yeah. Done. Yeah. Toast. History. Yeah. You know, so it's something, it is definitely something to worry about. So,
Let me throw this in. Folks, I want you to understand how Joel does have his finger on the pulse of this thing. And the reason I say that is this prophecy conference I keep referring to that happened this last Sunday afternoon, day and evening and all that stuff, 7 hours. Guess what they kept talking about? They kept talking about this passage in the Bible that's in Ezekiel 38 and 39. And they kept talking about Isaiah 17. And I kept saying, wait a minute, now I've heard those verses quoted before somewhere, and I had to scratch, you know, now my memory's not what it used to be. So I'm going, you know, Joel's been talking about this stuff for about a year and a half. These people, I've never heard them talk about it. They might have mentioned it, but Sunday it was hot.
Anyway. Yeah, and, you know, the thing is it's going to increase. As I said in the last show, I believe that we're going to start with updates in the hour range rather than the day, the week, the month, or the year. Mm-hmm. So I think we're getting closer and closer to that. Anyway, enough on the Chinese EMP. I don't believe that this balloon is equipped with an EMP. I believe it is totally a test for right now, and it's something that we need to deal with. But I do want to very quickly let everybody know that we're going to be, in the second half of the show, we're going to be talking a lot about Hamas and about Israel. We have more on the Temple Mount, all of that stuff. By the way, there was a lot of weapons seized that were being transferred again through Syria. Here we go with Isaiah 17:1 again. A lot of weapons that were going to be going into certain regions there. So we're going to talk about all that in the second half of the show, and I hope that you guys will go to www.lastchristian.net if you do not receive the second half of the show on the station that you're listening to. I want to quickly, though, Terry, go on next to the Ukraine situation, and here's just a really a quick clip on Ukraine. Listen to this. Well, let me see. Didn't cue it right. I'm sorry. Give me a second here. Let me see what I can do about getting it queued up properly for you. And we'll try it again. Here we go.
Russia is mustering its military might at the Luhansk region of Ukraine, officials said, in what Kyiv suspects is preparation for an offensive as the first anniversary of Moscow's invasion approaches.
On Wednesday, President Volodymyr Zelensky's government continued its crackdown on alleged corruption with the dismissal of several high-ranking officials. Prominent lawmaker David Arakamiya said, Zelensky was elected in 2019 on an anti-establishment and anti-corruption platform in a country long gripped by graft. Harry Michaels reporting.
Now, I want to add into this. I've got a report here from the Reuters news agency, and this is from today. It said a fire broke out at an overloaded electrical substation in the Ukrainian port city of Odessa, leaving nearly 500,000 people without power in a new blow to the country's ailing energy grid that has been hammered by Russian strikes for months. So, as you can see, things are intensifying as far as the proxy war that we in the United States are involved in over there in the Ukraine. And, of course, there's a lot more. There's a lot more information on that as well. One thing, and this comes from CNN, believe it or not, for the first time that the U.S. has seized Russian assets to aid in the Ukraine. In other words, you know, all those resolutions, and they froze a lot of Russian funds. Okay, well, the Russians expect to get those funds back when the sanctions are lifted. That's how it works. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, no, we didn't do that. Instead, we seized them, and now we're sending their money to guess who? The Ukraine. Yeah. So again, I call it poking the bear. We're poking mm-hmm. the bear in the eye and saying, we're going to mm-hmm. do this to you. We're going to do this to you. Na-na-na-na-na. What are you going to do? Well, they have nuclear weapons. Okay? They have an army, okay? Yeah. They are not happy with us, and they have already told us, if you keep sending stuff and doing stuff for the Ukraine, then we're going to go to war, World War III. What do you think, Terry?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, it's interesting, and I don't want to go into politics and all that stuff, but why is it that we've read all those stories and news reports, even a few leaking out into the mainstream Uber media about the president and his son being so deeply involved with Ukraine and money and that whole thing, and then all of a sudden we're sending tons of money over there to keep him in office? What is it they're trying to hide? You know, I'm not trying to do conspiracy stuff, but that adds up, Joel.
Yeah.
That adds up.
I'm, you know, the one thing that I disagree with that you said is that they're trying to keep him in office. No, they're not trying to keep him in office. They're trying to keep the Ukraine from going back into Russia. You know, so you know whether it was why wouldn't they? You know, I mean, honestly, you know, this is an attack on a sovereign country. I understand that. And my heart goes out to the Ukrainians. The problem is the Ukraine used to be a part of the Soviet Union. And when the Soviet Union was disbanded, then Ukraine became a country. Russia looks at that country as still being a part of Russia. They have already technically annexed parts of the Ukraine to where they can say, if you attack this particular region, you are attacking Russia. So, you know, I understand trying to help them, but this isn't going to work. And this war is now entering its second year, and all we are seeing is preparations for more and more and more from Russia toward the Ukraine. They are nowhere close to giving up, and trust me, they're not going to give up. Now, we are down to it, Terry. We are down to the very last moments of the first part of this show. I want to encourage people that are listening to us around the world, if you have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please do so. As we will discuss even more in the second half of the show, the time is coming when the Lord is going to shout for His church, and we are all, Christians anyway, living and dead, going to meet Him in the air. And what we want you to do is be a part of that and not hang around for what we know is coming, which is, of course, that great tribulation that follows. So please, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please do so before it is too late. For everybody else, we'll be back right after a very quick break with the second half of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. Well, welcome back, everybody, to the second half of the Last Christian Radio Show. Again, my name is J.D. Williams, and joining me from the Dallas and Fort Worth area, my good friend and co-host, Mr. T.L. Terry Farley. Terry, I want to continue what we were talking about there in the first half of the show, because I think that, you know, this not only applies to the United States of America and to Ukraine and Russia, even the entire Middle East, but it has a lot of prophetic implications as well, as I sincerely believe that, I'm going to wait for you to finish there because you can get the racket out of the way. Okay. I sincerely believe that Russia has got to win in the Ukraine to bring the Ukraine back under the umbrella of Russia. Because the movement of the coalition that is described in Ezekiel 38 coming down from Russia would find the Ukraine right there in the middle. It's just a transit point to go through, and it creates better supply lines for Russia. And of course, they're not stupid now. They know they have to equip their armies. So they're going to make sure that they've got all that in place before they were to make a move, especially against Israel. Israel is well-armed, and they are probably the strongest country in the Middle East. I'm not including the Russian army in this at all, but as far as their neighbors are concerned, they could squash any one of their neighbors in a heartbeat. So yeah, what is your opinion of all this?
Yeah, absolutely. I think perhaps the focus might return to the Crimea. That's actually the area in the Ukraine that is in contention. It actually belonged to Russia before the Soviet Union fell. Right. And this is why most of the people speak Russian. They lean towards Russia, although they don't mind the freedom of being out from under their wings. Right. But nonetheless, this is where the trouble is, and this is where we're looking to see what's going to take place. And again, right now it's an opinion table. We're looking at what could happen. What I'm thinking is, you know, the Crimea is a marvelous stepping stone for Russia to take it, and then because of the problems that are going on, to say, you know what, we might as well just take the Ukraine while we're at it.
Yeah.
And then, like you say, they have a base of operations a little bit closer to guess where. So, you know. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know, Putin's whole thing was to bring the old Soviet Union back together again. That's been his.
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
He's made no secret of that. That's really his ultimate goal. And the Ukraine being a part of that, they're there now. You know, mm-hmm. kind of plays into that. Mm-hmm. Also, I've got another report here, and this one. Let me see. I've actually got a couple of reports. That this one actually comes from Armenia, the Armenia News, News AM there. It said the governments of France, Germany, the United Kingdom, and the United States issued a statement in which they expressed concern about a change in the configuration of some of Iran's centrifuges. Now, this, of course, deals with nuclear weaponry or nuclear science, whatever, okay? This is noted in a statement by the International Atomic Energy Association, the IAEA, and posted on the website of the U.S. State Department. It says, as stated by the agency, this unnotified change is consistent with Iran's obligations under the NPT, Required Comprehensive Safeguards Agreement. Such lack of required notifications undermines the agency's ability to maintain timely detection at Iran's nuclear facilities. The newly reported change in configuration of centrifuge cascades used to produce near weapons-grade uranium underscores the need of Iran to meet all its safeguards reporting obligations and to accept whatever safeguards monitoring the IAEA sees as necessary in light of Iran's production of such highly enriched uranium. In other words, they have continued to enrich their uranium. All this talk about a deal with Iran, all that is a delay tactic to where they can continue working and where they can successfully get to the point that they have nuclear weapons. And we both know, Terry, they get nuclear weapons, we got World War III right now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Amir was talking about it Sunday evening, and he was pointing out they have some of their best facilities totally, completely underground.
Right.
Almost city-sized. And this is where this is all going on. He also mentioned, and I was surprised because of Amir's contacts. I wasn't surprised, but I was surprised because of his contacts that he would say it. But he said Israel has people there in that whole workup.
They sure do.
That are feeding them information.
Yeah,
and I
they
wanna
sure
keep
do.
It as possible on that, but.
You know, many years ago, I worked at Texas Instruments, and this you're going to see how all this ties in. This is one of my first jobs I ever had, okay? And, I mean, I was a teenager, believe it or not, and we were actually working with the control systems for our nuclear weapons program. If you can imagine an 18-year-old with no life experience working on something like that, I hope our stuff works is all I can tell you. You know, because I mean, I'm sure it's all been changed out by now, so don't blame me anymore. But, you know, all of this stuff that they're doing is all prep. You know, it's all preparation to get those weapons and get them going. And they don't have the expertise yet. That's the TI thing. They don't have the expertise yet to put all this stuff together, but they're working closer and closer with the Russians and with the North Koreans who have already got this stuff, as well as the Chinese. So, you know, it's not going to be long before Iran is really in it. So let's get into the focus on Israel now. Let's get into that. Listen to Eric Stackelback with the Watchman Newscast. Again, as a member of the U.S. Press Association, I'm allowed to play these clips. He knows I do it. So let's listen to Eric.
So again, last night, Stay wrote, targeted. One woman was injured as she was running to a bomb shelter in Stay wrote. The sirens were going off, of course. I've been inside those bomb shelters in Stay wrote in the past. I also had to take cover in the fall of 2018 while we were conducting a Watchmen production in Stay Road. And folks, I can tell you, the bus stops in that town double as bomb shelters. So it could be a very harrowing experience for men, women, and children in the town of Stay Road. They faced it once again last night. Thankfully, there were no serious injuries, but the Israeli Air Force did respond rapidly. Remember, Hamas rules Gaza with an iron fist. And although neither Hamas or Palestinian Islamic Jihad, Hamas's fellow Iranian proxy, which also operates inside Gaza, neither of them claimed responsibility for this rocket launch, Israel rightly holds Hamas responsible for any kind of threat that emanates from the Strip. So the Israeli Air Force struck some Hamas targets inside Gaza, including reportedly a missile production facility and also another weapons depot. And they apparently left an impression on Hamas and made a dent in Hamas's weapon-making capabilities, at least for one night. Now, this follows about a week ago, as we reported here in the newscast, several rockets launched out of Gaza against Israel. Things had been relatively calm over the past few months, but that changed last week. The Israeli Air Force responded to those rocket launches as well. And as something to note here that I think is pretty important, folks, as the Israeli Air Force was conducting these strikes overnight, there were 12 more projectiles launched out of Gaza. Not all of them were rockets. Some of it was anti-aircraft fire. You have to believe that the Iranian regime is supplying Hamas with different kinds of weapons, including more advanced anti-aircraft weapons. So that was also something the IDF, the Israeli Air Force, was dealing with last night. Before we move on, the big question, and this was the question in the title of today's newscast, will this lead to a broader conflict?
And I say that, yeah, it's leading to a broader conflict, all right. It's called the Gog and Magog War, and that is, of course, in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. And another report here, this is from the World News Organization, and this is about the U.S. to give Ukraine ammunition and weaponry for HIMARS. It's HIMARS, the Hawk 2, as part of a new military package. This is just being released. It's a new weapon. The ground-launched small-diameter bomb, GLSDB, will allow Ukraine's military to hit targets at twice the distance reachable by rockets it now fires from the U.S.-supplied high-mobility artillery rocket system. That's that HIMARS. In other words, we're doing everything we can to poke Russia in the eye. And I'm not understanding this at all. I don't see how it is good for the United States national security. I don't see how it's good for world security to continue to poke the bear in the eye. Again, Russia is a nuclear power, and they've got enough nuclear weapons to take out the world several times over, as do we, as does China, as does many countries, really. But again, we're poking them in the eye yet again, Terry. I don't get it. What do you think?
Well, yeah. Hey, you know, who was the bad guy in all the last politics of the last several elections? It was the bad guy was Russia.
Yeah.
So
always.
So always. I'm not surprised. It's, you know.
Hello. Okay. I lost Terry for a second. Hopefully he will get back. Until we get Terry back, into the program, I'm going to move ahead here and move on to whether or not we should believe that Hamas actually wants a conflict with Israel. So real quick, I want to play another clip from the Watchman newscast. And again, this is Eric Stackelbeck. So let's take a listen to this one.
The last time Israel and Hamas went toe-to-toe in a major way was May 2021. That was an 11-day war. And Israel, according to the Israel Defense Forces, they made a major impact in terms of weakening Hamas's military and terror infrastructure in Gaza. Israel says that Hamas is still licking its wounds from that last conflict, and that was nearly 2 years ago. So Hamas has been regrouping and rebuilding during that time frame. Number two, in August 2022, as we documented here in the newscast on a daily basis at the time, Israel and Palestinian Islamic Jihad had a major flare-up as well, and Islamic Jihad took some lumps there too. What I'm saying is this, the Gaza terror groups have been steadily and busily rebuilding their arsenals. Are they ready to go toe-to-toe once again with Israel? Do they really want that now?
And, you know, it's hard for me not to believe that they are pretty much set at this point. We are now not the only country that is supplying the Ukraine. There's weaponry coming out of the UK. And now, of course, Germany just this week announced that they will be sending tanks into the Ukraine. And we said that we're going to be sending our tanks into the Ukraine. Again, poking the bear right in the eye. And Russia has taken some significant losses over this last year in that war. And of course, they're being equipped by China. They're being equipped by Iran. And Iran just mentioned or just notified the world, really, that they're going to be sending ships through the Panama Canal for the first time in history, which would give them direct access to North Korea and the ability for North Korea to then give them the nuclear weapons that they need in order to get those things back over to Iran, get them set up to go up against Israel. And I don't know how much of that you heard, Terry, but I do see that you are back with us now, and I'm glad for that. I ran a report on with Eric Stackelback just a second ago. And, you know, it's just more of poke the bear in the eye. That's basically where I'm coming from on all this. Are you there, sir? Nope. It looks like he went away yet again. Okay. Well, that's okay. He'll be here sooner or later, I hope. Anyway, we do need to move ahead and talk about something else that is very, very prophetic to us. And, of course, that relates to the Temple Mount in the holy city of Jerusalem, God's holy city. And I have a report again from Eric Stackelback of the Watchman News. And, you know, when you guys are clicking over and you are subscribing to our channel, and I really do appreciate the fact that you are keeping up with us, but while you're on YouTube, take a second and subscribe to Eric, too. Eric Stackelback with the Watchman Newscast. He's an incredible individual. He's got a lot of good information. Listen to this about the tensions that continue to escalate there on the Temple Mount.
Jerusalem. Everything going on atop the Temple Mount. Hamas has portrayed itself as the defender of the Al-Aqsa Mosque atop the Temple Mount. And that's why that May 2021 war was launched, by the way, because Hamas accused Israel of defiling the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Now, we've been documenting here in the newscast over the past few months how things are really heating up atop the Temple Mount, especially with this new Israeli government led by Benjamin Netanyahu. Members of his government are saying, hey, the Jewish people prayed atop the Temple Mount where both Jewish temples once stood, as laid out in the Bible. We prayed there 3,000 years ago, and you're telling us we can't pray there today? That doesn't seem right, and people want to change that so-called status quo. There is a groundswell for that in Israel.
Okay, and welcome back, Mr. Farley. I clicked over to you last time, and you froze again.
You're freezing on my side, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, but see, your side doesn't matter. The only side that matters for broadcast is my side. So anyway, here's the deal. I played yet another clip from the Watchman newscast. Of course, now this had to do with the Temple Mount. The tensions there are growing, and they're growing, well, I'll say it, they're growing by the hour, okay?
Yeah.
And so another thing that I was talking about while you were gone is the tensions and whether or not Hamas is really ready to make an attack on Israel. Remember now, Israel is surrounded by weaponry. You know, they've got missiles pointed at literally every square inch of their very small country, the size of New Jersey.
Yeah.
They're, you know, they have pretty much taken care of, and I just heard this the other day, and it really made sense to me. They've pretty much taken care of their neighborhood. You know, by that, I mean the countries that are border countries, right on their border, like Texas and Oklahoma, you know, that type thing.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
They're right on, they pretty much got those people to where they say, well, you know, you better not go up against them Israelis because they will kick your butt. You know, but now you got the second tier. That's what I the reporting that I heard before, the second tier, you know, and so those countries, they may have been involved in past episodes with Israel trying to take Israel down, but they weren't directly involved. In other words, they were sending them ammunition and giving them support, sending them money, all that kind of stuff, but they weren't taking any hits. Now, they have come to the point where they're interested in going into Israel, and so they're trying to get the guts up of these surrounding countries. When they do that, and then they get the support of a huge nuclear power by the name of Russia, now we are getting to the Gog-Magog War, and Terry, in my opinion, we're getting there very quickly. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, well, once again, every time anybody gets into speed, I always return to the rapture. Things are going to pick up faster and faster, but it doesn't matter how fast they get. The rapture is still going to take the breath away of the whole world.
Amen. Yeah.
It's going to be faster than anything we can say or imagine. So, you folks, these things are happening. You've got good reporters like Joel that are holding this out to you and waving the flag. And you've got a special one with Joel because he always brings Jesus into the equation.
That's my job.
There's a whole lot of them that aren't doing that. They're saying, well, this is happening and we don't know. And what, you know, but they have no answer, you know, and I'm not laughing at them. I'm just saying they need to figure it out. You know, if you don't have any light, turn the light on.
Well, so, you know, anyway, you say, you know, pay no attention to tomorrow. And I agree with that 100%. The thing is that the media, that's all they think about. They think about tomorrow. They think about 10 years from now. They think about 100 years from now. That's the reason they're so hung up on, you know, all these issues with the Green New Deal garbage is because they're looking ahead to a time that is never going to get here because, as I keep saying, tomorrow never comes. And you better You better focus on the right now because you can't change yesterday. And like I said, tomorrow never comes. So, you know, it is all about today, right?
That's right. Amen.
Now, one last clip I'm going to play for you. I talked about this at the open of the show about the weapons that have been seized. This is really incredible. Now, the United States was involved in this. You know, so I want to give proper credit. If this was ordered by Biden, he did a good job. I doubt it was. I think it was, you know, it's probably, you know, just a military effort. But anyway, let's take a look at this one again from Eric Steckelbeck of the Watchman Newscast.
A massive Iranian weapons shipment traveling from Iran to Yemen. Surprise, surprise. Home of the Iran-backed Houthi rebels. Now, the U.S. and France, both part of CENTCOM, led this interception of this Iranian vessel. It was intercepted in the Gulf of Oman. And folks, it was carrying quite a stash, again, bound for the Houthis, at least 3,000 rifles, almost 600,000 rounds of ammunition, and 23 anti-tank missiles all aboard this ship traveling from Iran to Yemen. Now, things have been quiet in Yemen over the past few months. There has been a ceasefire there. Remember, those Iran-backed Houthi rebels have been waging war against a Sunni Arab alliance led by Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. In 2022, certainly, we documented many times here in the newscast, how the Houthis were launching drones and ballistic missiles out of Yemen into Saudi Arabia and even into the UAE on a regular basis. Things were getting very nasty there, folks, with the full backing of the Iranian regime. It shows you once again how the Iranian regime is the head of the snake when it comes to regional terror. Not only the Houthis in Yemen, but we're talking Gaza as well, right? Hamas, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, Iranian proxies, Hezbollah in Lebanon, those various Shia militias in Iraq and Syria. What is the one factor that they all have in common? They are all sponsored, armed, funded, trained by the Iranian regime. A smoking gun, no pun intended, with the interception of this latest weapon shipment.
Okay, so again, the weapons shipment, and you saw the size of that. Okay, now
yeah.
Then, tell me, have you heard about that in the mainstream media?
No, no.
Okay, so you haven't heard it mentioned on CBS or NBC or
Well, I'm saying the only way you're going to hear that stuff on those channels is if there's an actual war going on and they have to admit. You know, and this is the thing, it's admission. It's bringing in the truth. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you're right, because they don't want the world to know exactly what's going on. And here's the deal about this, is that even though this was a huge seizure, okay, they got a lot of weaponry. Hamas isn't saying anything about it. Iran's not saying anything about it. None of these terrorist agencies are saying anything about it because it really didn't bother them that much, is my point. Mm-hmm. They have already got weaponry, again, as I stated a few minutes ago, pointed at every square inch of Israel. All this other stuff is, it's overkill stuff. They want to make sure that when they attack Israel this time, that they win. Mm-hmm. Because how many times did they fail before? They failed on the day that Israel was created as a nation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. They failed a few years later. I'm not sure on the date. You may be of the second war. Okay.
Yeah. Are you talking about 67 or was
no?
There
that's
one between,
the third one. That's the third
one.
Yeah,
it was the third one.
1967.
There was one I think in the early 50s. It was.
Yeah.
And, it was the second one.
Okay.
Attempt.
Right. So, and then again, you know, the one in 67 was supposed to be it. You know, that was the one that was supposed to do it. And that war, that war was over in 6 days. Russia's been trying to take care of the Ukraine for a year. And Israel defeated several nations in 6 days. And really, the war was over after the first day from reporting that I'm getting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
so
I've got a cute little story real quick.
Go,
30
go right
seconds
ahead.
Or less.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I was a soldier with a couple of friends vacationing in Sieges, Spain when the war broke out. And we decided we were going to go AWOL and go help them fight. And when we sobered up, the war was over.
There you go. There you go. Well, you know, all of this, every bit of it, is a big reason why this show exists, because we're trying to find that last individual to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior before the rapture of the church.
Amen.
And you've got to keep in mind that just like there is a last play in a football game, there is absolutely, without question, it's factual, there has to be that last person to accept Jesus Christ before the rapture happens. It just has to happen. There's no way around it. And so what we're seeking is that last individual that will accept Jesus Christ, hoping to get the message of Christ out there. So if you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior yet, we implore you to do so. Time is short. All you've got to do is say a prayer to the Lord, tell him that you know that you're a sinner. Ask for forgiveness. Tell him that you know Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, that he rose after the third day, that he's ascended to heaven, and he's coming back in that moment that's called the rapture of the church to gather all Christians living and dead to join him in the air to avoid those 7 years of tribulation that are going to come upon the earth. And if you will just simply pray that prayer and say it in the name of Jesus Christ, you are saved. You're going to heaven. If you choose not to, you're not going to go to heaven. And not making a decision, well, that's making a decision. So you better think about it long and hard. Pick up a Bible or pick up a copy of Terry's book. And Terry, you got about 30 seconds to tell us about Blast Off Repeatmore in its now fifth edition.
It'll put you on the front row, folks, and what it'll help you to do is to ease your mind and give you the hope and peace and grace to wait out all of this insanity that's happening, because Jesus is going to preempt. He's going to come in before the tribulation starts and yank us out of here. In fact, I think it's going to be in tandem. I think he's going to yank us, and that it's going to happen in that period of seconds. That's when the tribulation is going to start. They're going to have to line up all their ducks. That'll take them some time. But I think that's where it's going to happen. I believe 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 reveals that. Check it out. Blast Off or PMR. Google T.L. Farley Books. T.L. Farley Books.
Amen. And I guarantee you that it is an excellent read. So I do encourage you to do it. Like I said, it's going to make you look at the Bible. He gives you a lot of Bible verses. I mean, a bunch. How many, Terry? How many was it again?
Over 1,350 plus verses from 25 plus different Bibles. Scripture index in the back, 1,500 plus entries. So you can go back and forth. I read mine every day, and I'm still relearning stuff and being reminded of the wonderful promises God has for everyone who believes and follows him.
Amen. Until next time, everybody. Good night, and may God bless you.